Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Our Foreign View, the show where we bring people from around the globe to show their foreign perspectives. I am your Cardiaca host, Gabriel, and today I have a selection of the best foreigners I know to talk about movies. So without further ado, let's do introductions first. Next to me, I have...
Hi, hajimemashite. I'm Yuki, your favorite Japanese girl. Very kawaii.
Peppers define me, though. My name is Kali, guys. El Kali, please.
And I'm Sydney, your Vermonter.
So today we're going to be talking about a topic that everybody's been thinking lately, especially during Corona times, because it's been quite a while that we haven't been into the movies, right? So we thought it would be interesting to talk about our experiences with foreign movies and foreign TV shows. Okay, so let's just start with the experience to go into the movies, because I feel like it's been a while that we haven't had that, right?
Yes, that's true. Like, I was talking to a friend of mine today that, like, as soon as the movies open, I'm going to just make the AMC royalty card that I can go, like, 3 times a week, you know? So I can watch every single movie.
Yeah, so let's start talking about that. The options to go into the movies here. You have this option of, like, getting a subscription that you can go to the movies a few times to... I mean, you can go to the theaters to watch some movies throughout the week. Right, Kali? How, I mean, this is not a sponsorship, but...
Basically, you pay like $21 a month. It's like a Netflix like kind of thing. Like, so you pay monthly $21, and then you can go like up to 3 movies a week.
So many.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yes, I know. And I don't think I ever watch like 3 movies a week, but I will go just because, you know, like Corona time just messed me up so bad and I missed the movies though.
I feel like there isn't this option in Brazil, right, Yuki? Like,
no, I don't think so. But they now have the card that you are like member of a club or something that you can pay less, but it's still quite expensive, I think. In Brazil, like they have a normal ticket, so it's a full price. And then you have like the student price, elder price, like half a price. But it's still very expensive. Like the full price is like 16 reais.
16? 1-6?
Yeah.
Like $4.
Really?
The ticket to go to the movies in Brazil?
What?
Yeah.
Since when? It was way more expensive when I got here. And that was like 4 years ago. What the hell happened?
No, it's 16, I think.
What? Like, where are you going?
I have been in the movies the beginning of the year, and it was a Wednesday. It's in the middle of the week. It's like 5 reais.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
They're still doing this?
Yes.
What?
I thought it was like 20-something bucks. I mean, not dollars. Reais.
It depends on the cinema. Like, there is a VIP theaters like in Barra, which is like 50 and 60 reais.
Just explain to people. So although you don't have the options of like subscription, as like you have AMC Stubs here and blah, 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 that like, or like MoviePass, they usually, in the beginning, they used to have this, that you're like, you pay a monthly fee and you go to the theaters, however, you know, how many times you want. We do have discounts like student discounts and elderly discounts, which I don't feel like we have here, right?
Yeah, you do.
We do. I mean, but it's not the same thing. It's just a little bit cheaper. Like in Brazil, it's like half the price if you're a student. Yeah, here's like a couple of dollars. Yes, yeah. But then, although it seems cheap when you convert it, so like $4. Most of the theaters, they don't have inclined chairs or pretty much just the inclined chairs like that you would find in like a regular AMC
dining experience.
Yeah, you have to pay extra for a VIP theater, which would have the inclined seating. Although here, like it also depends, right? Because I've been to a Cinemark that it doesn't have any inclined seatings or whatever. It just...
Yeah, I think it depends where you go, how old the theater is.
And the other day, my boyfriend wanted olive oil and popcorn.
Because you guys went to the VIP and he has like gourmet popcorn, right?
Yes, they have like olive oil with mushrooms and truffles and champagne.
That's so fancy. Oh, that's God. Like, that's so far-fetched.
Yes.
It's really good, but it's really expensive. We were like, oh, how much is it? It's like, if you put olive oil in your popcorn, it's like 15 reais more expensive just for the olive oil.
What? Bring your own.
That's how they make money, though. Bring like,
bring your own inside of your pants, you know, like here. That's what I do.
Making your own reminded me that when I was a kid, this is going to sound so bad, but my mom used to make microwave popcorn and then bring it to the theaters.
Still does.
Yeah, like
that.
Like smuggle it into the theater. She would cover the cup holder with paper towels or like napkins and make it like a little box. A little bowl and fill it with popcorn. Yeah.
No. Mom is definitely an avid supporter of that, along with bringing her specific soda everywhere that she goes.
Oh, goodness.
I can relate to that.
I mean, it's kind of bad because that's how theaters make money. They upsell you stuff. It's not from the tickets.
Yeah, the popcorn is expensive. It's more expensive than the ticket itself. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's insane.
Like I've seen here people bringing Chipotle into the movie theaters.
Oh my God.
That's kind of insane. I feel like that's too much though.
Yes, it is. And I only bring M&Ms. That's all I need though for the movie theaters. But like funny that Yuki said that, like, for example, she was saying that like it's like 4 reals and 15 reals like during the weekend. Because like I remember when I was younger, though, when I used to live there in Brasilia, I think I could count on my fingers, like, how many times I went to the movies, like, probably, like, 4 or 5 times, like, my whole life. And that was, like, 17 years of my life, you know? And here, I can go more often than I could back then, you know? I remember that when I was a teenager, when I tried to go with my girlfriend at the time, it was crazy because, like, I was like, oh, man, I gotta pay, like, $30 for me and $30 for her. And, like, where am I going to take this money from, you know?
It's definitely more accessible here, I feel like. I feel like they have more deals and ways to make you actually go to the movies than in Brazil. I feel like it's more accessible here.
But I mean, there is a lot of families, like, I have a volunteer in a very poor area in Rio, and I have asked, like, the students, oh, have you ever been to the movies and what you like to do? And he was said like, oh, my dream is to go to the cinema theater. Like, I have never seen a movie in the theater. Like, never.
Kind of sad, though.
And he was like 10 years old, I think.
That's so sad.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I live, though.
I'm happy that now with Corona, I feel like there's going to be more like home theater and home video. Although I feel like in Brazil, you have less options, though. Like in Brazil, you can't really like rent movies on demand on a lot of platforms, right, Yuki? Or is there like, because here you can rent videos on demand?
I think now you can. I think in most of paid cable TV, like Sky, Net.
But is it like movies that just got released in the theaters? Or
yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Really?
Okay.
2 weeks, like, oh, the movie got out 2 weeks, and then later they have now in the platform.
Yeah, that's good. So I feel like it's good because it's going to include more people and, you know, to cinema itself. I mean, they're not going to have the experience, but I feel like it's kind of...
I don't always do that.
Yeah.
I feel like in America, though, it's more like in the culture to like kind of go to the movies. You see like in movies, like, you know, the whole family, oh, let's go watch a movie. And you also see in real life, like the whole family together in the movie theater, though. It's kind of like in their culture kind of thing. In Brazil, we don't have that, though. I don't know about you guys, but for me, it was like once in a time experience, you know, like it's just like McDonald's. Like you only go for a special occasion.
I get what you mean. Like I definitely feel like in Brazil, I would only go for like 4 movies tops during the year.
Exactly.
Especially with the whole family. If I was able to only go by myself with my friends and I only had to pay mine, it would be better than, you know, go with the whole family and bring like 5 people and have to pay for all of them. It's kind of, yeah, it's kind of hard.
Yes.
I feel like another thing that is different from the experience here is that like they still have street theaters here. In Brazil, don't have theaters in the street. Like you don't have...
Like drive-in?
No, not drive-in, like... You don't have a building for AMC.
Oh, I see what you mean.
They're usually like with inside shopping malls.
Yeah, they're inside of malls in Brazil.
Yes.
For example, there's a theater in Tyson's Corner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
In the shopping mall.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we're located in DC, people. But yeah, like that's what we are used to. You don't see those
like a whole building just for them.
Yeah,
like just driving along the road and you pull into a park.
Yeah, exactly. Street theaters died before I was born, you know, like like you barely find
it. Drive-in movie theaters a thing?
No, that's not a thing at all. So
nowadays in Corona, they have now some driving.
Oh yeah. Yeah, like with Corona, they had to modify a few things, but yeah, before that I never heard it.
I was reading like this thing on the internet that says that Walmart's gonna make drive-in kind of setup, you know, for some locations. Yes, for movies though.
I mean, it's perfect.
They have huge parking lot.
Exactly.
Yeah, they have huge parking lots. That's what it is. Yeah, and like I think it's good for them and it's good for everybody else because you know I'm gonna feel like I'm on the 70s again.
The only thing that struck me in the beginning was that here you guys have like way less, when you're checking the tickets, it's way less rigid than like Rio. You're like you enter with the ticket and you go out and you go back and go, you know, it's just like whatever. But I feel like in Rio, it's like they actually actually check your ticket.
What you're saying is that like here, like people are used to move hopping. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'll be honest that I movie hopped in Brazil.
Yes, I move hopped here a lot.
Yeah, I feel like here it's easier to do that.
It's funny because like one day I was trying to move hop with Nicole and I was like, Nicole, let's go. She's like, no, we're going to get caught. Like, we're going to get caught. And I'm like, no, Nicole, we're not going to get caught. Like, it's just a movie. Just check the times. And, you know, if they ask us to leave, we're going to leave. And he's like, No. They're going to call the cops on us. I'm like, no, that's not how it works.
I definitely relate to that. Like, I feel like the first time that I went to the movies and like I got in and then I wanted to like get out to go to the bathroom or something. I was like, fuck, there's nobody here to check that I'm actually going out just to go to the bathroom. I can't get out get out because if I go back in, nobody's going to be like, yo,
where's the ticket?
Yeah, where's the ticket? Exactly. And I was like, stressing out. And then now I'm just like, people really don't give a fuck.
Yeah, no, they're not. They're like, okay, just whatever. Like I was there 2 days ago and then he's like, oh, I saw you. And I was like, yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have like any good like memories of like theaters and
in Brazil? Like you mean like as in like Brazilian movies or?
No, any movie.
So I do have one, which was, like, for example, like, you remember that movie Sixth Senses or something like that?
Yeah, Sixth Sense. Yeah.
Sixth Sense, yes. I remember I was, like, very young when he came out in the movies, though. And I went to see that. That was one of the movies that, I really remember. And, like, we got there. It was, like, halfway through the movie. In Brazil, back then, they would say, like, if you get here halfway through the movie, you can watch the other half on the next session, right? So, like, I watched half of the movie and then I watched the beginning again. And I was like, you know, I watched the end and then the beginning. Like that was one of the experiences that I think it was funny. And like, I loved the movie though. It didn't matter for me to watch.
Yeah, it's an amazing movie.
Isn't that what we were just talking about the other day? That
Don't say anything about the movie because Sydney still hasn't watched this movie.
I think I watched 5 times though.
Yeah, I know. And she doesn't know the ending. Like, she's going to have the full experience when she watches it.
I haven't watched it yet either.
Okay, great. So I'm not alone.
Really?
I'm not sure why I'm being included on the movie episode because most, like, my entire life, when anybody asks if I've ever seen a movie, the answer is just, like, no. Immediately. And Gabriel still asks me if I've seen this and that. And I'm like, no.
Because I have faith. No. I have hope.
No. You have hope, right?
So, yes, that is on my list.
No, but the reason why you're included, for sure, is because I'm introducing you to Brazilian movies and TV shows, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I feel like you have a different perspective of Brazilian movies.
Yes, if anybody has any questions about American movies, you can just ask me.
Yeah, you ask a Brazilian about American movies and ask the American about Brazilian movies.
Is there a movie that you guys, like, that marked your life and then you just like watch that thing over and over again. And like, for example, like you laugh at the same jokes, you know, you cry at the same scenes, like
Harry Potter.
Parasite.
But that,
how many times did you watch it?
3 times, I think, in the theater.
3 times. The movie just came out last year. Jesus.
But I like to watch it over and over. I have watched, you know, the Joker like 6 times in the theater.
I kind of understand Yuki though. Like I watch, what's the name of the movie? I love Adam Sandler, and like I watch Click at least 4 times a year.
Oh my god! Yes.
4 times a year. Like it's constant. Like I do it 4 times a year.
I can only watch Click if it's dubbed in Portuguese, because the dubbing of this movie is really good.
No, I like it in English though.
That's something.
Yeah, I
that's
remember you talking. That's loving something that movie, and I think it's so stupid.
That movie and White Chicks. So that's something that Americans are never gonna understand. That there's something that we have. We as foreigners, not we as Brazilians. We as foreigners don't have English as their mother language. We grew up learning how to read subtitles and like dubbing. And there's some content that for Americans is just like trash. But because of the dubbing, it's insanely good in Brazil. I'll give a few examples. Click is really good.
Mm-hmm.
White Chicks, it's loved by any Brazilian. If you don't love it, you're wrong.
American Pie.
Which one?
The one that they get married. Like, it's one of the best.
I don't remember it.
You don't remember
it? I don't remember it.
It's like, it's amazing though. Like, I could watch that over and over again.
Even the actors get confused about why do we like this. It's like, for example, what's that show that has Terry Crews as a father? Chris?
Everybody hates Chris.
Everybody Hates Chris. This show.
What?
Exactly. What?
No, I don't even know the show.
Exactly. What? That's exactly what I mean. In America, it was like an okay show and it was super underrated. But Brazil loves it.
Yes.
Brazilians love this show, especially because of the dubbing. And it's so insane that the actor that plays Chris, he hates Brazilians now because they harass him on his Instagram. And he doesn't understand. He's like, how do you guys love me so much because of this freaking shitty show, you know?
It's really good, though.
It's really good because of the dubbing, though.
Yes, it's true.
Okay, so once I'm fluent in Portuguese, we can watch it.
I've watched it in English, though, and I liked it as well.
It's because you already had an emotional bond.
That's true.
A good idea of it in your head already.
That's true. But no, that doesn't make sense, like what you're saying there, because I love El Chavo, like Chavez. And I watched it in Spanish, which is the original language.
But you understand Spanish.
I know, but I hated it.
Really? I love El Chavo.
I like it in Portuguese. I don't like it in Spanish.
I mean, I don't like it in Portuguese. I never liked it.
There is an anime called Yu Yu Hakusho, which is in Brazil. In dub, it's perfect.
This is a great example, too. There's this anime, Yu Yu Hakusho. It's a random anime that in Brazil, it got a lot of love just because of the dubbing. Like, it's not even that good of a show for anime standards. I mean, it's really good, but they like at the same time that they were releasing it, they were releasing other animes that got more attention. But in Brazil, because of the dubbing, Yu Yu Hakusho, it's amazing. I've watched it in English and it wasn't as good.
In Japan, it's very popular too, because the author of this anime is like really famous. He's married with a Sailor Moon author to creator.
I know that he's known, but I thought it was because of this other anime that he made, Hunter x Hunter.
Yes, he's very famous because of Hunter x Hunter, but Yu Yu Hakusho in that time was really famous, very popular at the time because the main character was not very hero, but he's really funny too in Japanese. But in Brazil, it is like very popular because of the dubbing.
I feel like there's something that we win and lose from having dubbing and subtitles. It's very funny to watch Cindy try to read subtitles and watch dubbed things. Like, I remember we went to watch Parasite. First, I had already read this article from Bong Joon-ho. Sorry, I think I just butchered his name. But the director from Parasite. And he was talking about how Americans don't appreciate other cultures' art because they are lazy and they don't want to read subtitles. I don't think it's because of laziness. I just feel like you guys haven't been trained. Like, you trying to read subtitles watching Parasite was so funny to me because we were like, what was there? Or like, yes, the other day watching Brazilian movies and we were like, I couldn't read this.
I feel like Parasite, I don't remember having that experience quite as much, but yeah, there was something we were watching the other day and I felt like it was so fast that I didn't have time to read it and also like look at what was going on. So you were like pointing out something in the background and I was like, I don't know, I didn't even finish reading. It stressed me out. But yeah, like I don't think, aside from like being forced to watch a Spanish movie in like high school or whatever, I don't know that I've ever watched a whole movie reading subtitles, especially not in a movie theater,
which like is which is insane, because if there's something that we are used to, it's doing this. And now like picture yourself doing this. You're in the first row of the movie theater.
You sit in the first row.
No, like you didn't have any option.
Oh.
You're in the first row of a movie that you really want to watch. And you have this big ass.
You have to read.
And you have to. Yeah, exactly. We can do it.
I think I wouldn't go.
We can do it. I promise you, we can do it.
No doubt.
It's insane. Like for me, it was really funny watching you. And it was also funny. I was listening to this other podcast where they were talking about anime too. And they were talking about like how they sometimes like to watch the dubbed version because they've
never watched anything dubbed.
Yeah, because they want to be able to like see everything. And I'm like just laughing inside because I'm like, if you're a pro at reading subtitles, I don't want to brag, but I'm already bragging. You are able to read the subtitles and have yourself a moment to look at the picture. You know, you're just trained to do that. Like, do you guys agree with me?
Yes. And also you start to absorb the language itself. Like, I mean, I know Japanese because of my family. And sometimes I listen some familiar and I'm like, oh, okay. It's like common for me.
Me too. Like watching anime, I learned some words just because it happened so many times. Or watching that TV show Dark, which is in German, mm-hmm. I learned a phrase because they would keep speaking and speaking the same phrase over and over and over again.
I was going to say, that's why I really like watching liked watching Nobody's Looking and 3%.
So these two are Brazilian shows from Netflix. Sydney is watching them because it's entertaining. Yeah, together. We're watching them together.
But yeah, they're entertaining and they're good, but like it helps me to hear Portuguese.
To learn Portuguese, yeah. But yeah, it's just so funny to me that like you guys are not used at all.
Spoiled.
You guys are spoiled.
If it was me like 3 months ago, no, maybe a little more than that. If it was me like a good 8 months ago, I would say like Americans, it's okay for them not to read subtitles because the best movies are here. But then I start watching like French movie, Spanish movie, and like I'm like, man, like there's so much out there like that you can get like good movies. And like sometimes in my head was like just pointing to Hollywood, you know, Hollywood. But then like there's so much more out there, like French movies, like so many great French movies that, you know, it's worth watching with subs. Yeah. And you know, like, and like Spanish movie, I understand, I don't need the subs, but
yeah, Argentinian movies, Colombian movies, French movies, so many.
There is this French movie called Climb. It's like one of the best movies I watched because like it has everything. It has romance, it has comedy, it has you know, everything, a suspense. It has a bit of everything though. Like, and it's a great movie.
I feel like I was having this moment. I had this moment too when I stopped to think about like how much you guys are unfortunately missing. And it is what you just said, that like most of the quote unquote good productions are here. And what happens is that when something gets good enough, quote unquote, again, attention, not just because it's good, but it has enough attention, then they get dubbing usually. They're spoiled because they, you know.
Oh, they get a remake.
Or a remake, which is, my God, they, Kylie, I would have not thought about this. My God.
There's so many remakes.
I hate remakes so much. Oh, I'll give you a few examples.
Death Note, Netflix.
Oh, Death Note. Hell no.
My gosh, Death Note. They made a movie about an anime. It sucks.
It's horrible. It's a bad movie.
Or the remake of Les Misérables, which is
with Anne Hathaway?
No, no, no. This is the Broadway. This is the Broadway play. No, it's the other one that the remake is with Bryan Cranston and Kevin Hart, and it freaking sucks. My God.
I actually liked it because I didn't watch the actual one though.
No, the actual one is so good. My God, Kelly, please go watch the French movie. Mm-hmm. It's so good. It's like one of the best, if not the best movie I've ever watched in my whole life.
I watched it.
In the remake, it's complete and utter shit.
But it's not completely like, because they're trying to remake movies from outside. Sometimes they mess it up on their own movies though. Like, you know, the Chuck, they try making Child's Play and that thing is horrible. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's a very American thing of like, let's do remakes. Let's there's something that is good. Let's do another remake. And then they just fuck it up. So on the topics of like remakes of movies that are foreigner, there's this other one, Millennium. Do you guys know which one I'm talking about? It's like with 007. I forgot his name. So the movie and the books are Swedish, if I'm not mistaken. And the original movies are pretty good. And the book is obviously really good. And then they made this version with, I think it's Daniel Craig, right? I forgot his name.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
I don't know if it's Daniel Craig, people.
One of the things I'm 007. To know.
I forgot his name. It's like, no, it's so sad. Imagine making a remake of Harry Potter.
Oh, no.
But in French. Like, why? You don't need that.
No, you really don't. Like, it's a classic. You shouldn't touch it.
You should like appreciate the original.
I feel like you lose a lot from like trying to remake, because when they remake, it's also like they don't just, it's not like just dubbing, but you try to remake the whole like vibe to an American public. So like the jokes and the kind of humor, it all changes to, you know, make Americans like it. But that's not necessary, right?
Yeah, heaven forbid we expand our horizon.
It happens that like genres of movies, you're not broadening your horizon because you're not like, the genres of movies in Hollywood are usually the same thing. It's like you don't see a lot of innovation happening every time. But if you were to expand your horizons, like you would see movies from other countries that would play with the genres better, like Parasite, for example.
Or Bruna Sufistinha. It's a great movie.
Okay, let's talk about Bruna Sufistinha.
Let's do it.
Oh my God, why?
So the name of the movie, I think it's Brazilian Call Girl or something like that.
Brazilian Call Girl.
It's a movie about a prostitute.
No, a young lady who becomes a prostitute, right?
It's a movie about a prostitute, but it becomes a really good drama movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's not this like cliche kind of story.
Yeah, it's an amazing movie.
Like Parasite. If you watch the trailer, you're like, what the hell is happening? Is this like a horror movie?
Yeah, I kind of agree with it. But, you know, Bakurao is also like that kind of thing, because you kind of don't understand anything if you just watch the trailer.
Yeah, it's because like they play with genres that you have established in your mind. Like you have the family drama, you have some horror kind of things happening.
Slasher.
Yeah, you have a slasher in there. And then turns out it's like a kind of a political movie, you know, a social political movie. Or Bacurau, which is a Brazilian movie that we were watching. Same thing, is like a kind of Western sci-fi slasher movie. But in reality, it's a social political movie too. It's like you play with the genres and they don't just fall in the cliche of like...
Instead of just a rom-com?
Yeah, or a renegade cop. I mean, not to say that there are obviously good movies from Hollywood. That's obvious. We all know this.
Animation is really good in Japan, but I don't think there is really good animation in America. I mean, Spider-Verse was good, but I rather my Japanese anime and Korean one. Most of the public is like children, but in Japan, Korea, is like you can talk about anything.
Yeah, animation is so much more than just like...
Oh, kids shows.
Kids shows, exactly. Yeah. Like, was it Studio Ghibli was in this Oscar last year too, right? Or I think that I think the last movie that Studio Ghibli made, Studio Ghibli is a Japanese studio. They make animes, anime movies. They are very deep. And then like the year that they were competing on the Oscars, I think that a fucking Toy Story won the...
Yes. Yeah. I was very angry at it.
Which is fine. It's understandable, but kind of like, why? It's more than just like Buzz and Woody, you know, like, and they're deep stories. Don't get me wrong. Like, I cried with all Toy Stories. No, never mind. Not the first and the second one. But like, I feel like there's not a lot of like representation. Yeah.
Like, I understand what Yuki's saying. Like, it's like, for example, like when Brazil tried to kind of copy American shows, like there is this new show that I tried to start watching it, and it's called Reality Z or something like that. And it was horrible, though. I guess they were just trying to copy all the Walking Dead.
That's so sad, though, because I do see that this influence of America and Hollywood, which is understandable, again, of course.
Because they're big, right?
Yes, the cinema manual was born here in America, obviously. But like, it's kind of sad that this influence is very bad for other cinemas in other countries. You know, like, because we try to do something that's similar, of course we're not doing the same thing. We don't have the same resources, and it turns out to be not good.
Yeah, and we don't have like the same. It's also like it also plays with feelings and humor and everything. Everything plays a big role on that, though, because like we have different like kind of like catch to, as in like an American, and like American has a different kind of catch that we do. You know, like they have their own thing, their own doing. We have ours, you know.
Exactly. You can just like redo things.
Yeah, like for example, like Brazilians are good with novellas. You know, that's for sure.
Yeah, soap operas. Yes. Exactly. That's a great example.
And Americans are not so good at it. You know.
Yeah, Brazilian soap operas. Believe me, people who don't know this, Brazilian soap operas are amazing.
Yes. Yes.
They go year long. You have an episode every day, a new episode, and every day. The soap operas are amazing. They are amazing stories. They're mm-hmm. very lengthy. They're very big. They have their cliches, but they're very good. You know, it's a different way to express. It's a different narrative than an 8-episode Netflix show or, you know, like a HBO show. But it doesn't mean that it's bad, you know. On the other hand, when we try to do an 8-part show on our own, not with the help of Netflix or whatever, sometimes it doesn't work out, you know?
It doesn't work. That's what I was saying. Like, Americans, they're good for that, for shows and, like, you know, for movies. But we are kind of better on the soap opera kind of thing, you know?
Give you guys an example. Google right now, Brazil Avenue.
Brazil Avenue.
Brazil Avenue, soap opera. Google that right now. I guarantee you that you're going to see that this soap opera was
a hit in Brazil, like...
Yeah, it was a hit, not only in Brazil, but in very many other countries.
Spanish countries, yeah. Yeah, remember my ex? She learned Portuguese watching this movie. And she would say... Really? Yeah.
Not movie, soap opera.
Yes. She would say, I'm Carminha.
Yeah, it's really good. It's
okay,
really good.
You guys want to know something that'll make you sad? When I Google Brazil Avenue... So it comes up with
soap opera,
Brazil Avenue cast, Brazil Avenue, and then it's ... And I can only assume it says the rest of full episodes in English.
It's different. It's different. But at the same time, it's not to say that there's like, you know, bad, there's only bad shows or bad movies. Like if you guys go to Netflix right now, if you go to 3%, you're going to see a very good Brazilian show.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a Hunger Games type of thing.
Hunger Games vibes for sure.
Yeah, but it's really good. Or like Korean shows like...
Yeah, Koreans and Japanese now, Chinese too. I think they are like not copying, but they absorb the things they learn in America. Like they watch a lot of shows and have a lot of influence, especially after the Second World War. They were like basically American colonies, and they put a lot of money in the entertainment industry, a lot of money, like billions, and the quality of the shows are really good. If you watch it, it's like they put a little bit of American things, European things, and especially the national things like religion, traditionals. Fascinating to watch, I think. I have learned about my own culture watching dorama, which is the Koreans and Japanese and Chinese. The only difference is like you put alphabets, like K-drama, which is K-dorama is Korean, C-dorama is Chinese, J-dorama is Japanese.
We were talking about like how countries have their own way to express themselves, and like you see that on these shows, right? Like they're not going to portray everything similar. Like you saw that there was something like curious from these dramas, right?
Yes. I mean, if you look it up in Korea, they portray the woman as the woman. Like they have a very thin body. The makeup is perfect. They are very powerful women. The story is most like a girl who is like very independent, hardworking. Usually they are poor and they're always working. And the boy is like, oh, very rich, the most wanted boy in the city.
We were realizing that like violence is also portrayed in a different way, right? Like
in Korea and Japan, they don't really show how some character is killed or something. They like show the knife, show something has fallen, and then like blood everywhere. But they don't show like how they killed, where they hit.
Yeah, imagine something completely opposite of Tarantino movies.
Completely opposite. Do you think that's a bad thing, though?
No, I think that's a great thing. Like, it shows how the culture works.
Especially because in Japan, I don't know Korea, but in Japan, like, the law against gunfire is really strict. So it's very hard to get guns, and gunpowder is really hard to get. In America, you can buy
anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere. Walmart, yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way when I watch movies that are Brazilian versus movies that portray Brazil or movies that portray another culture. Like, it's different. Like, I'll give it a good example. If you've never heard of Brazil, you've heard of Brazil because of these three things. Favela, carnival, and waxing.
Football.
And football, yeah. Some people have. And you see that very clearly on movies like Fast and Furious 5. I hate this movie. I wanted to fucking kill Vin Diesel when he's in quote-unquote Rio, which, by the way, wasn't shot in Rio. None of that fucking shit was shot in Rio.
Really?
Yeah, none of that shit was shot in Rio.
I thought one of the scenes was, though.
And then they have this scene escaping from a heist, and then they hide in a favela, and then the police gets them, and then he's like, oh, you don't see that you're not in America anymore. We all have guns or something like that. This is Brazil. And then everybody in the favela has a gun. What the fuck are you doing?
Even the old lady all the way up there.
Yeah, like, it's like, what the fuck? What the fuck is your problem? I'm like, this is not Brazil. What the hell?
Because that's how people see us.
Yeah, or like when people think about Brazilian movies, they think about City of God and Elite Squad, because people just think about favelas and think that favelas are just like
the whole country.
No, and they think that the favela is just a mob. It's like just mobsters in there. At the same time, I really appreciate when a movie like Rio, the animation, portrays us for like our music and whatever. You know, like
a cartoon.
Yeah, it's a cartoon. It's a really good. I mean, it's not a cartoon. It's an animation. Yeah, it's a bird. Exactly.
That's about Rio.
I mean, it's not about Rio. It's about the bird. But whatever. It's portrayed in Rio. It's a really different kind of vibe, you know.
Yes, I understand it.
It's so sad. It's the same thing when you. I'll do a mea culpa right now. It's the same thing when you watch a Narcos, which is a show in Colombia, and you have actors that are Brazilians playing Colombian characters, or it's like why, or like they just portray Colombia for their narcos, and you know, that's bad, man. That's like horrible. Colombia is not just about coke and, you know, Pablo Escobar. No, that's awful.
You know, talking about that, you made me remember something that I just want to mention. I was watching the Death Note, And, you know, once the union, you know, the union gathered together to talk about everything, like talk about Kira and then, yeah, like how Kira is killing everybody and blah, blah, blah. And then one of the shots shows that like all the countries and one of the shots like zoom in on Colombia, right? And the name of the guy, it's called, his name is Escobar. And I was like,
oh, yeah, I haven't.
Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that.
So bad. The one Colombia character is called Escobar. That's so bad.
It was like, I was like, oh my God, this is bad. Like, they only think of, you know, when they think Colombia, they think Escobar, you know.
Do you see any beauty standards in the series and the shows and the movies?
I feel like all beauty standards seem to be Hollywood's beauty standards, which is younger and hot.
I think they have changed a little bit, though. I think they have changed, like, especially like with the Netflix, like new shows and everything. They've been casting people like that look different and different, like
that,
you know, like
that's true.
Not just like the smoking hot or the nice chested, like, you know, nice abs guys, you know, like
the white skinny guy.
Yes, exactly. They've been getting like very diverse, like.
I agree that Netflix has been doing like a really good job at that, like on,
yes,
on those, on especially on the teenage romance movies.
I was thinking about Sex Education, but
oh yeah,
sex education.
Mm-hmm. It's a great example. Yeah, it's very, I mean, but it's supposed to be diverse. It's a show that you like, you look at it and you're like, yeah, it's gonna be diverse. But like normal romance movies, they're also like very good. But like, what did you have in mind when you mentioned that, Yuki?
I don't see much difference in Korea and Japanese and things like that, because like they don't talk much about sexuality. The sex scenes, they basically don't exist. In most K-dramas and J-dramas, they're like, the most sexual thing is when they kiss, a little kiss.
Really?
The woman is mostly like really thin. There is an actress that is like 43 kilos. 1 meter and 80.
She's like super skinny, pretty much. People like 1 meter 80, it's like 6 foot tall, and 43 kilograms is like what, one? Yeah, it's like 100 pounds. It's like 6 foot tall and
like
100 pounds.
Foot on me. Yeah.
That's insane.
That sounds anorexic to me.
Yeah, she is.
And in those countries, like if you weigh a lot, like if you're obese or something, you're basically out of the society. They really take it seriously. I have been called fat by some Korean like friends and Japanese. They're from Japan. And I was like, oh my God. And I started looking for the show, how they weight, and they are really thin. The average person is like 50.
50 kilograms?
Yes.
You know, I get what you're saying. And I feel like that's a cultural thing.
Yes.
Too. Now they're talking about, I feel like, yeah, there's a cultural beauty standard. Like in Brazil, for example, you're going to see different than the standard from Hollywood. I mean, you're going to see some intersections. Of course, the person looks more Hollywoodian. She or he is going to probably be in a better spot, which is horrible. But yeah, there's definitely a difference when you compare. To end on a good note, to end this episode on a good note, though, and a funny note, Cindy and I, we were realizing that with the whole non-English speaking countries and dubbing and subtitles, we realized that there's another level to the mix, which is different titles of movies and shows. And Cindy was so confused with the title of, what was the title of that you were so confused? Was it a American movie that was translated to Portuguese, or was it a Brazilian?
I can just remember the Brazilian one that we were looking at like yesterday or something.
Yeah, which one was it?
That was something in Portuguese, like when is she coming back?
Oh yeah, yeah. The name of the movie is Que Horas Que Ela Volta, which is like, when is she coming back?
Yeah,
and then they translated
so,
to.
No, I was so proud of myself because I like knew those words, and I like said something kind of similar to that, like, oh, is that what that means? And then we like go and look it up on YouTube, and it's like Second Mother.
Second Mother,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a very old movie, but I kind of like it. It's the name in original is The Physician, but in Brazil, they call it Physicist.
Oh, yeah. It's called the... it's a bad translation. Yeah. The name of the movie is The Physician here.
Which is a doctor.
But, yeah, the doctor. Yeah. They translate it to The Physicist in Portuguese. It's so bad.
Okay, well, that's just like stupid. Changing the name. I forget what it is in Portuguese, obviously, but Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. That movie with Jessica Alba, the huge cast of a bunch of known people, Ashton Kutcher, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day in Brazil is The Comes and Goes of Love.
Comes and Goes of Love?
Yeah, Idas e Vindas do Amor.
That's such a weird name. Like the one like Hangover, though. Hangover is a good one to talk about. In Portuguese, it's like, if you drink, don't get married. Like,
what?
Yeah. I think that the best translation here would be if married, don't drink. If engaged, don't drink, or something like that. But yeah, in literal translation is if drunk, don't marry.
It's just so weird.
And then also there's many more, like Meet the Parents. It's called Entrando Numa Fria, like
getting in trouble or
getting
something
in trouble,
like that.
Yes.
In the same way that Hangover is translated to if you drink, don't marry. The movie that is Time Capsule or something like that? No, the Hot Tub.
Hot Tub.
It's the movie that the guys get into a hot tub and they go back in time.
Uh-huh.
So the name of that movie in Portuguese is The Hangover.
What?
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
What
yeah,
the
it
hell?
Is.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't watch it in Portuguese, so I didn't.
There is a movie in a very recent, I think, movie. It's called, in English, The Art of Raising the Rain. And in Portuguese, My Friend is Enzo.
My Friend is what?
Enzo.
My Friend is Enzo? Like, oh, is that the dog movie?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, it's while my family was watching the other day. It's with the guy from This Is Us.
Yes, yes. But I think it's funny because the movie in English is like, wow, The Art of Raising the Rain.
Yeah.
And the Portuguese
yeah.
is like, My Friend is
My
Enzo.
Friend Enzo. It just sounds like a bad animation movie. Like a knockoff Disney movie. So bad.
Guys, I'm looking at names here and I'm just cracking up. Like, there's another one. Not Another Teen Movie. And then in Portuguese, it's like, Não é mais besterol americano.
Oh, that's funny.
It is funny, but then at the same time, it has nothing to do.
The name in English is Not Another Teen Movie, but when translated to Portuguese, it's Not Another...
Stupid America.
Stupid American Movie.
Yeah.
But that's because of cliches, though. Because for you guys, you think that it's a cliche of teen movies, but for us, it's a cliche of American movies.
That's true.
Cliches of, like, the cheerleader, or the cliches like, the world is being attacked, but they begin in America.
Yeah.
Like, aliens are invading the Independence Day, and then the first thing that they attack is New York City. Like, you know. That's kind of cliche that you only find in American movies.
Yeah.
I think Die Hard.
Die Hard.
Which is like Hard to Kill in Portuguese. They're just like such bad names.
Yeah. There's another one that's funny. It's Forgetting Sarah Marshall or something like that. And then in Portuguese is A Nice Pair of like Underpants. Is that how it is? I'm just cracking up looking at this.
All right, guys, thank you very much for listening to today's episode. Please don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts and follow on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That really, really helps the show. You're going to find all of our guests and hosts, me, Instagram, on the description of the episode. And we're also including, after this episode, a link for you to send a voice message to us if you want to send us any comments, and we're going to be including that on future episodes, so be on the lookout for that, okay? And we're going to catch you guys in the next episode.